Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
We started with a message last week called, What Would Jesus Brew? What would Jesus brew? And we asked a couple questions. Here were the questions that we asked. And we talked about alcohol, but here's a couple of the questions that we asked. We asked, can a Christian drink alcohol and not sin? Right? It's a great question. And a lot of people are asking that question. Can a Christian drink alcohol and not sin? We answered it two ways. And we looked at what Jesus said, not just what the preacher said, right? And we looked at the Bible, and the Bible answer is yes. Can a Christian drink alcohol and not sin? According to the Bible, not according to me, not according to you, but according to the Bible, the answer is yes. Jesus would say that alcohol is a gift. Right? That's what we learned last week. Alcohol is a gift. Just like food is a gift, just like sex is a gift, just like money is a gift. Here's the problem. We take God's gift and we begin to abuse it, and then it becomes sin. Right? I can eat too much and it becomes gluttony. I can become greedy and then the money becomes a sin. I can drink too much alcohol and then it becomes sin. So Jesus would say that alcohol is a gift, but drunkenness is a sin. And here's the other question that we kind of asked last week as well. Not only can we be a Christian and drink alcohol and not sin, but should we? Right? Should we as Christians drink alcohol? And again, we made a few points from that. It may not be wise for some to drink alcohol. If you have an extreme personality, if you have no self-control, if alcoholism has been in your background like it has in mine, then it may be wise for you not to drink alcohol. It just makes sense, right? The other thing is, it may not be wise for you to drink around some people, right? I mean, if someone struggles with alcoholism, I'm not going to say, hey, man, check my beer out. Hey, I'm going to drink six in front of you. No, that's called causing him to what? Stumble. Could cause him to stumble. And so again, it may not be wise for some to drink, and it may not be wise for some to drink around other people. But here's the bottom line. If you choose to drink alcohol in moderation, then you need to do it for the glory of God and the good of others. Amen? If you choose not to drink alcohol, you need to do it for the glory of God and the good of others. And can I just say this? What is wrong for me may not be wrong for you. I mean, again, a lot of religious people, they want to look at people and go, no, that drinking, that's terrible. You should never touch that stuff. You should never do that. I mean, that's just a sin. You shouldn't even look at it. You look at that Pendleton bottle, you're going to go to hell. Really? Here's the truth. If you don't drink, just like I don't drink, don't tell anybody else that they can't. It's not your call. If you drink and you are able to take of the spirits, partake of the spirits, don't tell anybody that they're wrong for not drinking. It is a personal decision between you and the Lord, and you ought to be wise in it. You ought to do it for the glory of God, and you ought to do it for the good of others. Amen? And so that's what we kind of talked about. Now listen, you say, well, where does this tie into Scripture? And how do these subjects that we're covering, like alcohol, how do these subjects actually tie together, you know, with the Holy Spirit, which is where we're going? But look at Ephesians 5:18. It says this. It says, do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so today, we're going to move from the idea of maybe alcohol, and we're going to move to the idea of the Holy Spirit. Now you say, but why do I preach? Why do you preach on subjects like alcohol and the Holy Spirit? Here's why. Because people don't understand them. Again, the church has failed in a lot of areas, and one of the areas is they either say, you better not drink, or you better not talk about the Holy Spirit, or they don't say anything at all, right? And we're not going to do that. We're going to face subjects that God faces every page of the Bible, and we are going to address them. And so again, Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to look at The next subject that goes along with this verse, and it's the Holy Spirit. Now, can I just say this? Hopefully, before we finish this series, you are going to be able to answer the questions of who is the Holy Spirit, right? Who is the Holy Spirit? Where did he come from? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And what part should he play in my life? Now, let me say this as well. How many of you guys have ever heard any teaching on the Holy Spirit? Anybody ever heard any like major teaching on it? Not a whole lot of people. Praise the Lord. You're gonna get it today. But here's the thing. Here's the great thing about God, and this is one of the things that's beautiful about God. We don't understand everything about him. I love that. You know why I love that? Because there's a mystery about God. There's a mystery about him. And here's the truth. If we knew everything about God, then what would that make us? God, right? And so I love it. And I think it's beautiful that we don't understand and we don't know everything about God. That being said, we know a lot about the Holy Spirit, but we don't know everything. Part of what the Holy Spirit is and part of what the Holy Spirit does is still a mystery. And I love that because you know why? If I could figure it out, I'd probably get bored with it. Anybody like that? You figure something out and you're just like, okay, conquered that, done. But here's the truth. There is a mystery about the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. Just like alcohol, a lot of pastors and churches don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. They don't want to do it. You know why? I'll give you a few reasons why people don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit, especially in church. Here's the thing. Because of what they maybe have seen on TV. Anybody seen anything crazy on TV and they claim that it was the power of the Holy Spirit? Anybody? No, four of you. Great. Do you guys watch TV? Here's the truth. I think some people take this idea of the Holy Spirit to the extreme. And you may have seen people on TV, you know, and again, you got this preacher and he's just slamming people. Anybody ever been there? I heal you in the name of Jesus. You know what I mean? And they fall to the ground. I've seen crazy things like people barking for hours because they said the Holy Spirit was filling them. I don't know if you do that in your spare time, but that's weird for me, kind of extreme. I've seen a lot of people shake, you know, again on TV. They go into these convulsions and they say it's the Holy Spirit. Again, I don't know that that's true. I've seen people try to play with snakes and end up in the emergency room. Again, for me, that's ignorant, but that's just me. But again, the reason why we don't talk about the Holy Spirit is because we've seen some extreme things. People take them to a level where maybe it's not really truly the Holy Spirit, and they claim it is. But here's some other reasons. Some people want to just solely focus on one aspect of the Holy Spirit, right? They want to focus on being slain in the Spirit. They want to be, you know, focus on being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And again, they want to focus in on speaking the tongues. You know, if you've never spoken tongues, they say, then you're not really a Christian, right? And they think that, again, that is a prerequisite. Some people don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit at all. They're like, holy who? I mean, who are you talking about? When they talk about the Holy Spirit in their church, they don't even, you know, use the words. They're like, oh, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today. Anybody been in a church like that? Yep, I have. Some people, all they want to do is talk about the Holy Spirit. Who, Jesus, who? I mean, it's the Holy Spirit. We got to talk about the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's all about this, it's all about that, and it's all about the Holy Spirit. Well, here's the truth. At Thousand Hills Ranch Church, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we will honor him till the day that the Lord returns. Amen? The Holy Spirit is not the red-headed stepchild that God doesn't want to talk about. I apologize if you're red-headed. And so here's the thing. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the Bible obviously talks about the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit's a major part of the Word of God. And so let's look at our scripture again. It says Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to answer two questions, all right? And this is a classroom today, okay? A lot of times I love, and this is kind of probably what I love more. I love preaching application messages to where I can tell you something and you can apply it to your life. Today, you're going to get more knowledge rather than application. Anybody like going to school? Anybody hate school? Come on now. Well, your class has begun, and you can call me Mr. Haig today when you leave. It's going to be on the chalkboard. I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. We're going to answer two questions today, and then we're done. Ready? Number one is this. Who or what is the Holy Spirit? Who or what is the Holy Spirit? Now, let me just say this. I will tell you what the Holy Spirit is not first. Okay, you ready for this? The Holy Spirit is not an it. Amen? The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a genie in the bottle. You know, rub it. I dream a genie. Come on, baby. It's not a genie in a bottle. I mean, he's not a genie in a bottle. He's not a woolly gooly ghost that's going to come into your room and get underneath your bed. And yeah, that's not the Holy Spirit. The truth is the Holy Spirit, number one, is this. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And again, you say, well, what's that mean? Well, he is the third person of the Trinity. And you say, what's the Trinity? Let me give you a visual here of the Trinity. The Trinity is a fancy word for three in one. Okay, try three. You get it? Trinity. Now, here's the thing about God. God is three in one. You have the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now again, this is class today, so you're going to have to put your thinking caps on. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now here's my example on how to explain that. Anybody seen this example? The idea of the Trinity and the idea of God being three persons in one God and three persons is the idea of an egg. You have three parts to this egg, right? You got the shell, you got the yolk, and you got the egg white. But what is this? It's an egg, right? You got three in one. And it's the same way with God. God is three in one, three persons wrapped into one being. I have another example that I use. My wife doesn't really get this one as well as the egg, she told me. But I think that the Trinity, the idea of the Trinity is easy as cherry pie, right? Anybody like cherry pie? Here's the truth. I love cherry pie, but I love it runny. Anybody like it runny? I love it runny. My granny, she used to make the best cherry pies, and they used to come out hot, and they was just runny in the middle. Now, here's the truth about a cherry pie. I can cut it into three pieces, and you can see three pieces of the crust, but a good cherry pie runs back together. It's just like the Trinity. Three pieces on the outside, but the inside is all together. It's the same way with God. The Trinity is God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is God. And because he is God, he is, like God, omniscient. You say, well, what's that word mean? I mean, that's a big sermon word. What's omniscient mean? Omniscient means that he is all-knowing. You ready? Again, we're putting our thinking caps on today. He is all-knowing. He is not only omniscient, he is omnipresent. Anybody know what that means? He's everywhere. He's not just with, you know, he's not just over here and then he has to move over here. He is everywhere and then he's omnipotent. What's that mean? He's all-powerful. All-powerful, just like God. And so again, God is, or the Holy Spirit is God. Number two is this. The Holy Spirit is not Jesus. And he's not the Father, but yet he is fully God. You get it? Matthew 28, the verse says, and again, it's not going to be on the screen, but Matthew 28 says, baptizing them in the name of the what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father, the Holy Spirit is not the Son, but they are still all God. And does that blow your mind, or is that just me? It blows your mind. Thank you. But here's the thing. When Jesus himself was baptized, guess what? The Holy Spirit, there was a, in Matthew chapter 3, the Holy Spirit rested on him like a dove, right? And so again, three distinct beings, but yet still all the same God. The third thing is this. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. And you say, well, how do you know that he's a person? Well, I'll give you four ways that I believe, why I believe he's a person. Just like we as people have a personality, the Holy Spirit has a personality. And he has characteristics like every other person. The first characteristic that he has a will. Everybody has a will. And just like we have the will to choose whether we're going to go to church today, whether we're not going to go to church today, whether we're going to have cream soda or have root beer, whatever, we have that choice. We have that will to choose. The Holy Spirit has the same will. Let me give you an example. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this, but one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing each one individually as he what? As he wills. And again, in this scripture, they're talking about gifts, spiritual gifts. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to have the spiritual gift of singing. I want you to have the spiritual gift of talking. I want you to have the spiritual gift of hospitality. And so the Holy Spirit has a will to choose what gifts he gives out. Number two is this. He has a mind. Just like we have a mind and we're a person, you know, 1 Corinthians 2:10 says this. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Listen, if you're going to have a mind, that means that you can search out things, right? Just like the Holy Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. And so, again, it takes a mind to search out everything. Number three is this. The third characteristic is this. He has emotions. The Holy Spirit has emotions. Look at Ephesians 4:30. It says, and do not bring what? Sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. It's an emotion. He can be grieved. He can be made glad. He has emotions. The fourth thing is this. The Holy Spirit is capable of having relationships. Just like you and I as a person can have relationships and we enjoy those relationships, the Holy Spirit has relationships as well. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says this, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In other words, we can have fellowship and a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is a person. Again, is this hard for us to kind of comprehend sometimes? I think it is. To be honest, I think it is. When I think of the word spirit, I think of it. I think of a ghouly ghost. I think of all those other things. But if we will change our mind on that, we will be able to see that the Holy Spirit is a person. And so again, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a distinct person. Not Jesus and not the Father. And he is obviously a person. Here's the second question and I'm done. Number two is this. Where did the Holy Spirit come from? Where did he come from? Right? Yeah. Listen, the Holy Spirit has been present before the beginning of time. Now I want you to get this. The Holy Spirit was there before the earth was even formed. Listen to Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty. And darkness covered the deep waters and the what? And the what? And the Spirit. Can we just start over? The earth was formless and empty and darkness covered the deep waters and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. You know what it's saying right there? The Holy Spirit was there before the earth was even formed. It was formless. And here's the Holy Spirit. I can't even imagine what this would look like or whatever, but he was hovering over this formless water. I mean, just like it says right here. I took a flight on Wednesday to Texarkana, Arkansas, to have a meeting with a group of board members for the American Fellowship of Cowboy Churches. And I just love flying on airplanes. You know why? Because when you get so far high or so far up, you can be above the clouds. Anybody ever been there? And it's so beautiful. Looks like cotton. I think about the Holy Spirit when I think about that. He was over the earth, just hovering over the earth. And so where did the Holy Spirit come from? He was there before the beginning of time. He was there before the earth was formed. And here's the other part about it. He was there during creation, right? Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, then God said, let what? Let us make human beings in what? Our image to be like what? Us. You say, well, what's that mean? Here's the truth. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were at creation. You know how we know? Because look at the plurality of the verse. There was more than one being there, more than one person there. And so not only was the Holy Spirit there before creation, he was there during creation, and he was there during even the Old Testament. Again, a lot of people don't understand the Holy Spirit, and they're thinking, well, the Holy Spirit was only at work when Jesus left the earth. No, listen. The Holy Spirit was there, and he was present in the Old Testament. He led people, he empowered people, he guided people in the Old Testament, and those leaders and those kings who chose to follow God were all led by the Spirit in the Old Testament. So again, he was present in the Old Testament. The last thing that I want to touch on right here is this. He is not only present in the biblical days, but he is present in our lives today. Amen? In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes to the earth and begins a new and powerful ministry within us. And he is the promised gift of Jesus Christ. And let me just read the verse that kind of shows that Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. It says this in John chapter 14. It says, "If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you." Again, Jesus is talking, and he promises his disciples, he promises us that he is going to send his Holy Spirit to the earth to guide us and to free us from our sin. And so again, so here's what I want to do in closing. Why should you and I care about this idea of the Holy Spirit? Here's why. Because it's a part of your faith. You know, one of the things that I hate about going into stores sometimes, this is just me. When I go into a store and I want to ask something about a product, and when somebody doesn't know how to explain the product that I'm asking about. Anybody ever been there? How's this lawnmower work? What kind of oil does it take? You know, I mean, what? You know, all that stuff. And I go in there and ask them, they're like, I don't know. Hate it. Well, here's the truth. I think the church can be that way sometimes. And it's not everybody's fault, right? Some of you guys weren't taught what I was taught as a kid. And sometimes some of you guys are learning about things right now because you're new in your faith, and that's a great thing. But here's the truth. You say, whoa, this sermon today was boring. I mean, we learned about the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was real fun. Now, listen, you know why I'm teaching about the Holy Spirit? Because I want you to be equipped to share what you say you believe. Amen? And so you say, well, what's all this mean? Why should I care? Why should I even care about what the Holy Spirit is or who the Holy Spirit is and all that stuff? And again, it is my desire and it is God's desire for you to grow in your knowledge of the Holy Spirit, to grow in your appreciation of the Holy Spirit, to grow in your dependency on the Holy Spirit, to grow in your love for the Holy Spirit, and so that the Holy Spirit can increase in our lives and help us to live to glorify God. Amen? That's why we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. Next week, today we've talked about a lot of knowledge about the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to look at the amazing things that the Holy Spirit does for those who know him and who know the Son, Jesus. Amen? Let's give the Lord a hand today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. You may be here today and you're one of those people that are like, wow, what was that all about? Now listen, again, if you claim to be a Christian, then you ought to understand what that means. And so I felt led and by God, by the Holy Spirit, to speak about the Holy Spirit today. And so, again, I hope that you walk out of here today not thinking, well, that was a waste of time. I don't even know what to do with that. No, listen, I hope you walk out of here today again saying, wow, I understand that now. I understand who the Holy Spirit is. I understand where he came from. And next week, I'm going to come back so that I can learn how he wants to work in my life, how he wants to change me. And so, again, maybe you're here today, and again, God has shown you some great things today about the Holy Spirit. Maybe your prayer needs to be this: God, show me even more about your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you can pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me who you are. I want to know you more. I want to appreciate you more. I want you to work more in my life so that I can honor you, I can honor God, and I can honor the Son. And so maybe that needs to be your prayer today. Maybe you're saying today, you know what? I don't even know how to possess the Holy Spirit. I don't even know how to get the Holy Spirit into my life. Listen, here's how you do it. You surrender your life to the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ. And again, we'll talk about this in the next few weeks, but listen, if you will surrender your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and he will guide you. He will take control of your life and he will show you his will on how you should live. And so maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I want to know this Holy Spirit. I want to know this Jesus. You can know him today. If you will, in your heart, confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you say, "But I got questions about that. I don't know what all that means." Listen, we have the answers. And I don't personally have answers on my own. I have the Word of God and I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me that will give the answers to me. And so listen, if you have questions about salvation, if you have questions about the Holy Spirit, write it down on that orange card, put it in the yellow bucket, and we will contact you about your question or your decision that you've made today. If you say, "But I don't want to do that," text your name to the number on the screen as we leave today, and we will contact you. You don't have to write anything else. Just text your name, and we will call you in a day or two. Just do that. Now, here's the thing. I want to close this in a word of prayer. I want to thank you for being here today, and I hope that you'll come back next week. Lord, I come to you right now, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are present in our lives if we know you. And Lord, today we ask that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide this church, that you would fill this barn every time that we meet so that we can experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've been there since the beginning of time and you are with us today. And we pray that you would guide us for the rest of our days. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you guys for being here today.
Thank you again for listening to this message, and we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.